Thou art the way. By thee alone from sin and death we flee. And he who would the Father seek must seek him, Lord, by thee. We seek you, Lord, this morning through your word, that we might know you and we might be blessed by you. Amen. Now, I wonder, what is your greatest fear? What is your greatest fear this morning? Is it something that you believe politically will be terrifying, like a hard Brexit, or a rise in unemployment, or a rise in inflation and your mortgage rate shooting up? Is it that you are frightened most of all of the fact that your child will not get into the best school or your teenager to the university they want? Is it something that is health related, that you are fearful that you may have an illness that's going to need serious treatment and that there's a possibility that it could be terminal? Or is someone that you love very much, are they facing serious illness and possible death? In fact, is it death? Is death the thing that we are frightened of most of all, if we're honest? Because that's what the disciples were frightened of here. Jesus had said to them that he was going away from them, and that petrified them. He had spoken to them of his death, and they thought, what? No, he surely can't die. We haven't really got to the big moment where he's going to disband the Roman rulers and we're going to be on a winning wicket. No, he can't possibly die. And yet that's what Jesus had been teaching his disciples. That's what he'd been telling them right up until we started reading these verses today. Judas had already gone out into the night to betray him. Jesus had told Peter that Peter was going to deny him. And the disciples had thought, wow, if Peter's going to do that, what hope is there for us? The disciples were very frightened people, and they were very scared. And Jesus knew that. And so he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And that's the background to what happens here in these verses. That the disciples were terrified because of what Jesus had been saying to them. And they wondered where it would all end. And so Jesus speaks to them. He speaks to their troubled hearts. Believe in me. Trust in me, he says to them, and it will work out okay. Not perhaps as you're thinking it might, but it will work out okay according to my Father's plan and purpose. So that's the context in which Jesus starts to talk to his disciples about what comes next. And it demonstrates how well Jesus knew his disciples. Surely that shows us how well Jesus knows us too. And the great thing about Jesus is that he never, ever condemns us. If we are honest and we say to him, Jesus, I'm terrified about what's going to happen here, then he understands that. And he will minister to us. We sang, didn't we, earlier on, through the storm, my hope is built on Jesus Christ. And when I was thinking this morning, I was thinking about the storms that come in our lives, and by golly, they don't half come sometimes, don't they? when we're least expecting them, they come and knock us sideways. But through the storm, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He spoke to the storms and it calmed down. And that's what Jesus is doing here in these verses. He's saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. Yeah? This is the calm, the peace that Jesus is speaking into the situation he knows that his disciples are facing. And as we heard right at the very end, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. And again, he says, where he started, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So this is the context in which Jesus is speaking to his disciples here about what is happening and what is going on. But the disciples still have some questions. And they're not so afraid that they can't ask Jesus what he's talking about, really. And so we come to the first question. Jesus is saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said, hang on a moment, Lord. We don't know the way that you're going. So how can we know? How can we know what you're saying? We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says to him, I am the way. I am the way. This is one of the most amazing things that Jesus ever said in his ministry. We've been thinking, haven't we, over the past few months about the I am statements of Jesus. And we've come to the penultimate one today. There's one more after this. Now, most of those sayings Jesus said to everybody, to the crowds, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and so on. This one he says to his disciples only. But it is still a most stupendous saying, because Jesus is saying, when he says, I am, that's exactly the words that God said to Moses way back at the burning bush when God called Moses to go and deliver his people out of Egypt. God said, I am. Because Moses asked his name. He said, who are you, Lord? And God said, I am. And here we have Jesus. Over these months, we've had Jesus himself saying, I am. So every time that the religious leaders in particular heard that, they got very, very aerated, because Jesus was putting himself on a par with God, the I am of the burning bush, the I am who had spoken to Moses. How dare he do this, was their thinking. A mere man, a carpenter's son, for heaven's sake, from Nazareth. How dare he say, I am, putting himself on a par with God. But Jesus did, because he was and he is. And that's what is going on here. When he says, I am, Jesus is saying, I am God, which is what he unpacks a bit in these verses. I and my Father are one. I am God. You believe and trust in God. Do the same with me, because I'm God. But notice especially what Jesus says here. He doesn't say, I am a way. He says, I am the way. He states it quite categorically that he is the way. He is the way to the Father, and the Father and him are one. And no one can come to the Father except by him. Isn't it annoying when you go and do your weekly shop? You probably go to the same supermarket every week. You know your way around that supermarket. You know where everything is. You've got your basket or your trolley, and you have a route round that supermarket to pick up the things that you need. And most of the time, we're buying the same things every week, aren't we? Yeah? And then the supermarket goes and changes its layout. And the things that you want are not where they usually are. And you scratch your head and think, oh, golly, where do I find this now? So you find a shop floor assistant and you say to them, I'm looking for such and such. Where is it? Now, in days of yore, they often said, oh, it's moved to aisle such and such. And you'd look around the store thinking, where's aisle such and such? But not now. You ask a shop floor assistant, where is such and such these days? They will usually say, 99 out of 100 times, oh, I'll take you there. They are the way to what it is you're looking for. And so Jesus is saying here, I am the way. He's the way to the Father. He's the way to heaven. And all that that means in having eternal and everlasting life. And in a world where there are countless opinions as to how you might find God, Jesus is saying, I'm the way to God. There is no other way, and I am the only way. And the way to heaven, the way to knowing God the Father, is through Jesus, is through his death on the cross, and through his resurrection. That's what Jesus showed through his entire ministry, that he was the way to God. Jesus was and is the only connection between us sinners and God. There is no other way. And if you've been coming to the Lent course, or if you're reading the Bible study notes that have been available to those to study Deuteronomy on your own, you will have read in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 33, you must follow exactly the path that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land that you are to possess. If we want to know the way to God, we need to know Jesus, because he is the way, the only way. There is no other way, no matter what the opinions of the world might be. And he, Jesus, is the way to life. He is the true way and the true life. So we're moving on now to consider the truth. As I said, it can be translated as, I am the true way. We've been alerted to and introduced to in recent weeks fake news. It seems everybody's talking about it now. Fake news. It's out there. So how do we know the truth? How do we know what's true? How do we know what's false? Know Jesus. He's the truth. That's what he's saying here. Remember that Pilate asked Jesus this question. Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? So there was obviously fake news all those years ago. The truth is Jesus. He came to testify to the truth, as it says in verse 6, and to declare that he is the truth. Truth is the very reality of God revealing himself in Jesus. And Jesus' entire ministry was a witness to the truth about who he was, where he had come from, what he was on earth to do and where he would go. Jesus was utterly faithful and reliable in all that he said and did in teaching his disciples about God. So that when Jesus said, "I am the truth," he declared himself to be the one true living God, the true and the only way to knowing God. There's no fake news about that. It's true. It's reliable. It can be depended upon. Of course, the opposite of truth is falsehood, or fake news, as we've said already. And we can so easily exchange the truth about God for a lie, as Paul says in his letter to the Romans. We can so easily worship the creature rather than the creator, who is God himself. How do we counter this? How do we counter falsehood, fake news? We hold fast to Jesus, who is the truth. Jesus is God revealing himself full on, rather than a backward glance that God allowed Moses. And Jesus never dismissed or denied the truth in his life on earth. He would die on the cross, but on the third day he was raised again from the dead. And there is a saving significance in Jesus, the truth. And Jesus taught the truth of his death and resurrection to his disciples throughout the entire time of his ministry, but they didn't always get it because it was difficult to get their heads around it. And when Jesus did talk about it, they became frightened and upset. Living the truth would be a costly affair. It would cost Jesus his life. But we would be the beneficiaries of that great truth. And there are other places that we've read over these months where Jesus talks about the truth. Lies and falsehood enslave us. Truth sets us free. "You will know the truth," Jesus said, "and the truth will make you free." And later on in this passage, "This is the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be with you." And then when we look at chapter 17, I think that's next week. No, the week after. "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The truth is in this book." We can read loads of books. We can gain a lot of knowledge from books. If we want to know the truth about life and about God, it's in this book. So it comes highly recommended. Read it. It's a great book. I never get tired of it. And so the truth sets us free to life in Jesus. So now we're looking at Jesus saying, "I am the life." Or it could be translated as, "I am truly the way to life." Jesus is the source of life for all believers. And it's the only life worth living. I don't know what sort of lives you have lived, are living, or will live in the future. But Jesus is the only life worth living. It's life with a capital L. It's life in abundance that overflows. And it's not boring or dull in any way. When I was younger, I used to read these verses about Jesus being the life and giving life in abundance and coming that they might have life to the full. And my life was anything but that. It was awful. And I used to read it and think, okay, God, if that's what you say, but I don't have that in my experience. actually now the tables are reversed and I say, Lord, please can we have a little bit of less abundance because I'm struggling to cope here. Jesus is the only way to life you can have. It's free. You don't have to pay out exorbitant amounts of money for it. It's totally free. And it's an abundant life. It's a joyful life. It's a life worth living. And we have many references in John's Gospel to Jesus being that life. Right at the very beginning, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And in chapter 3, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And chapter 5, for just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And then in chapter 6, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is for the life of the world. It's in my flesh. And that's what we'll be commemorating later. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us to give us life. We can feed on the bread of life through reading this book. And you can have much of it as you like. It's like some of those restaurants where you can have an everlasting whatever it is, you know. I think, is it Nando's that has an everlasting frozen yogurt or something? And some places have everlasting fizzy drinks and stuff. Yeah? You've got everlasting everything in this book. And it's free. You don't get a bill at the end of it. Because Jesus has paid the bill. And then in chapter 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And then Jesus said to Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, they will live. And right at the very end of the Gospel of John, we have, through believing in him, that's Jesus, we may have life in his name. So Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the true way to God. He's the truth about all things. Jesus is the life giver in all its fullness and abundance. If you want to know God this morning, know Jesus. That's how it happens. That's how we do it. We know Jesus, that he's the truly God and the giver of life through believing and trusting in him, that he died on the cross to forgive us our sins, and that he rose again from the dead to give us life which will last beyond the grave for us. You know, if you're afraid of dying, and many people are, then this is the hope. If we know Jesus, we've got life beyond that grave. And death can have no terror or fear for us. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the truth about God. He's the very life of God that we can have coursing through us by the Holy Spirit, of which he also speaks in these verses and subsequently. This is the testimony that Scripture gives us, that Jesus has come and revealed the Father to us, revealed the way to the Father for us. He's spoken the truth about God, and he has proclaimed life to us. So how does this apply to us this morning? Do you want to know God this morning? Then Jesus is the way to knowing God. And he's the only way. You can't find God by any other way than Jesus. That's what Jesus says here, isn't it? No one comes to the Father except through me. We couldn't have it declared more clearly to us in a world which says, oh yeah, there's many ways to God. No, no, says Jesus, I'm the way. So if you want to know Jesus this morning, or God, if you want to know God this morning, Jesus is the way to that. And as it says here, if we want to be able to discern truth from falsehood, real news from fake news, then Jesus is the truth. Jesus has sent the Spirit of truth to lead us into all truth, and he abides in us when we know him. Are you truly alive this morning? I think 100% of us here have our hearts beating and we're breathing. Some of you may have fallen asleep, but your heart is still beating and you're still breathing. But there is more to life than just that. There is everlasting life through knowing Jesus as our Lord and our Saviour. There is true life, life that sets us free from sin and guilt and shame. There's life in its abundance because Jesus is the source of all life. And that life, as I've said, will take us beyond the grave. And it will take us into the many rooms that Jesus says here that he is going to prepare a place for us. Have you ever gone travelling and thought, oh, I'll find somewhere to stay? And then when you've got to the place where you're going to stop for the night, you're driving around or walking around, or I'm riding my bicycle around or whatever, and all you see is full, no vacancies. Yeah, has that ever happened? When Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, you will never ever see a no vacancy sign up. You will only ever see, welcome, come in. So that when Jesus says here, I'm going to prepare a place for you and I will come back and take you to be with me, that you can be with me forever, there's the welcome sign out. There's a vacancies sign, if you like. There's plenty of room. I love Alice in Wonderland. It was one of my favourite stories as a child, and I've read it many times as an adult. And Alice comes across a tea party. And the people at the tea party, I mean, there's a big table, there's, you know, everything's laid out and everything, but there's only three people there. And they cry out, no room, no room. And Alice looks and she says, there's plenty of room. It's the same with the place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. There's plenty of room, room for all. That's what Jesus says. And that's the truth. So, if you're here this morning and you're not too sure about knowing God, you know him through Jesus. He's the way. If you're confused about what the truth is about God, then Jesus is that truth. If you're feeling that life is, Jesus is the life. I'm not saying that he will change things immediately. Sometimes things take time to work out. But if you have Jesus as your life, then you have everything you need for what is going on around you. And there's plenty of room for all. No one's excluded. No one is told there's no room for them. So what I would say to you this morning is a well-known phrase that you've probably heard many people say, get a life. Get Jesus. Don't delay. Get him now. Let's pray. Thou art the truth. Thy word alone true wisdom can impart. Thou alone canst inform the mind and purify the heart. Thou art the life. The rending tomb proclaims thy conquering arm. And those who put their trust in thee, nor death nor hell shall harm. Thou art the way, the truth, the life. Grant us that way to know, that truth to keep, that life to win, whose joys eternal flow. Amen.